All right, I've got 301, so I'm going to go ahead and start because I ran long. I'm long-winded. If I get real long-winded, just kind of speed me up, and I can get this ball rolling. So this next session we're going to cover is we're going to cover deploying of Office 365 Pro Plus. So we've talked about identities, why identities are important. Now we're going to talk about deployment. Is anyone new? Wasn't here at my last session? All right. So keep your hands up, new people. Here is your instructions. New people. All right, coming your way. The new people, go ahead and log in to your tenant. You need a And go ahead and begin the process of enabling it and connecting to it. It should take about 30 minutes, so get started early. What? Well, I did identity. I actually got six components I'm doing. It's the same lab for, give you that page. There you go. There you go, hey. There you go. There you go. Anyone else? Anyone new? Anyone joining the session for the first time? So I get to use the same old crappy jokes? So Office 365 Pro Plus deployment. That's what we're here to discuss, and we have a lab, and we're actually going to do an Office deployment, and we're going to learn a few little tricks and things that make life wonderful. So planning and deploying Office 365 Pro Plus, here's the track, what we're going to cover. So we're going to talk about the many different ways you can deploy Office 365 Pro Plus. We're going to talk about the ODT, the Office Deployment Tool. We're actually going to download the ODT in our labs, and then we're going to use it. We're going to talk about pre-installing Office on Windows images. So you can package Office 365 Pro Plus in your Windows image. So you don't have to stream your content from the internet to do the install. Right? Depends on your network, how things are going, how you do your deployment, and then we're actually going to do an Office 365 Pro Plus deployment in the lab. So Office 365 Pro Plus gives you a number of ways to install it. One of the easiest ways is to go to the portal, log into the portal, and when you log into the portal, it's going to say, you know, welcome, Mike, and it's going to give me all my little buttons for all the pieces that I have. And it's also going to say, you know, install Office. And it's got a big red button that says install now. Literally, if you click that install now button, it'll install Office on any device you're on. So if you're on that device, it'll start installing it on that PC right now. If it's on a Mac, you're going to have to go do the alternate Mac install, and then it'll install the Mac version. Right now, those are the only two that run off the portal. Any of the others, you're going to get them from their stores. So if you're going to do it on an iPad or an iPhone, right, you're going to pull it down from the iTunes store. If you're doing it from an Android device, you're going to pull it off Google Play. That's where you'll get the installs for the Android pad, which is in beta now. But anyone can sign up and get. If you're on an Android phone, you just pull it down now. iPhone, we just redid those. So now they're individual apps instead of being an Office Hub. And then the iPad, those have been out for a little while. All of those are enabled through Office 365. So if you're using Office 365, you can consume all of those devices I just talked about and just start using them right away. So we can manage the deployment. So you don't have to just say, go to this portal and click this link and install, right? Because in an enterprise, that's not how we install software, right? We do things in a managed fashion. We have project plans built around those. You know, we take, you know, we're measuring. We have metrics around how we're doing the deployments. We may stage them. We may use distributed points of installation. We may use a standard DFS that has an SMB share. We may just say go to the internet. You know, whatever is the best method for you, we have a method for that. You know, a lot of the oil and gas people in here, they have people who work on rigs out in the Gulf, right? They don't have networks, right? They're gone. Or you get those individuals who work at like North Slope up in Alaska, right? They're gone. They don't have networks up there. So we have an installation methodology for those. We can't solve, as I like to say, we can't solve the physics problem in Africa, right? There's no internet in Africa. Using the cloud doesn't solve that problem, right? You have to have the internet to do that. So we have an answer for that on what do we do in those cases where there is no network or it's very limited. You know, it may be best to create a DVD and ship it, right? Kind of the old-fashioned method, right? Sneaker net. But that sneaker net still may be your best choice. And we can already have it pre-staged and ready to go on any device. So you can build it into your Windows image. You can pre-populate it down. There's a lot of ways you can do that. Tomorrow's session, so the first session tomorrow that I'm doing, we're going to talk about, and you're actually going to do an install using System Center and Group Policy. So we're going to talk about how to do software deployment through System Center and Group Policy. And then you can replace System Center with your management tool of choice because it's more or less the same methodologies. So the self-install, literally, you just go to the portal, you run the install, and it installs on the machine. Self-install is great if you're a small organization or if you're installing it on home computers. That's where self-install becomes wonderfully simple, right? We used to have a link on office.com that used to just, you could just go to office.com and click on it and it would do that. We kind of took that away. You have to dig deep to go find it. But the easiest way is to log into the portal and then install it directly from the portal. So that's the simple self-install methodology. The managed deployed methodology is going to use a tool that we call the Office Deployment Tool, so the ODT. So anyone do packaging for Office on premises today? So you use the OCT, right? The Office Customization Toolkit. So the OCT still works with Office 2013 MSI. That's the way you do customization and you do all your parts and pieces with on-premises Office 2013. With Office 365 Pro Plus, we use a tool called the ODT, the Office Deployment Toolkit tool. The Office Deployment Tool is responsible for deploying Office on the individual machines, and it can also be used for doing updates and also be used for doing uninstalls. But then the question comes, well, where do I get all my settings? You know, where's all my customization come into play? And that's actually in the group policy. So instead of doing what we used to do by building it all into the OCT, right, we took pretty much every dial, button, slider, wizard, everything that's in the Office Customization Toolkit and put it in the group policy for Office. So that's where we put those settings. So this class is not about BYOD. This class is about Office deployment. The BYOD was you bring your device to do labs. So we gave you kind of some false narrative around that. In reality, you don't, right? But what you could do is you could actually package the ADM file. This is the group policy, assuming they're using a Windows machine, right? And then you could actually have that right down on the local group policy settings. So it would work. Not practical, I understand, but it's so the question was, is there a plan for us to do group policies within Azure Active Directory in the future? I don't know the answer to that. I haven't heard that we're going to do that. I've heard that request, but I don't believe we're doing group policies in the near future. So today, if you are an unmanaged device and you're not connected to the domain and you wanted to push customization settings onto an Office installation, you could do that through the ADM file, but you would have to do that out of band through like a PowerShell script or some scripting methodology. It can be done, but it's not going to be simple. Does that answer your question? So the Office deployment tool is truly responsible for doing Office deployments. So what does it do? It covers three components of doing the Office install. It's responsible for doing the download. Remember earlier I talked about Office, the package for Office, which we RTM every month, is roughly a gigabyte in size. It's 800 megabytes roughly for the actual Office file. And it's 200 megabytes roughly for the language pack. So if you select multiple language packs, then that size goes up, obviously. And then that is maintained monthly. So if you want to do updates, and I have a whole session about updates, and you want to do manage updates yourself, so you don't trust us to manage updates, you want to manage the updates yourself, then you will run this download command monthly to get the latest update, and then you'll go through, tweak it, tune it, decide what you want to do with it, and then let it install. This download tool, anyone can get, anyone can download today, anyone can do this right now if you want. Download the tool on your local machine. When you run the setup command, it's going to download two files. It's really big. It's a 1 megabyte setup file, and it's a configuration XML file. A configuration XML file tells Office what to do. And we're actually going to learn about this here in a minute. But those are the only two things that the ODT consists of. But that ODT is going to be leveraged heavily throughout the rest of this session and going forward as we're talking around deployments. So you can do downloading of the information. Then you can do the install, so slash config in the XML file is going to do the configuration, slash packager. So anyone using AppV doing their Office deployments through AppV. So AppV 5.02, I believe, is the version that supports doing Office 365 AppV. So you can do the packaging switch, and it'll resequence it and make it an AppV package. So in reality, Office 365 Click to Run is an AppV app. Without AppV tied to it. But it's the same concept, it's the same methodologies. It's just if you're using true AppV sequencing, then we have a command switch for that. But I don't think anyone in here is doing AppV. So good, if we're not covering it. And then slash help, if you want to know what the installer commandlets are, they're there. TechNet is your friend. Anything that comes with Office 365, we publish to TechNet. TechNet is where we put everything. When you email me a question, hey, Mike, how does blah, 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 guess where I go? It's TechNet. And honestly, the answer is in TechNet. I used to joke. I said, I get paid a ton of money to read TechNet for other people. Because literally, people ask me, I'll go to TechNet, I'll look it up. You know, and if I like them, I'll cut and paste the text of the TechNet article, and I'll send it back with some nice verbiage. If I'm mad at you, I'll just send you the URL. So if you ever get just a URL from me, I'm mad. Didn't know I was high maintenance, did you? So doing the download for Office 365 Pro Plus is just as simple as doing slash download and then giving it the config file. So let's kind of look at what that looks like. Come on. So the config file consists of and download Office Client 32, and then we have Office Client 64. It's always going to be Office Pro Plus Retail. We use the same methodologies for the Home Edition, for the Personal Edition, for all the other editions. It's the same methodology, except that command switch is different. But in the enterprise, what we're doing is Office 365 Pro Plus. It's always going to be Pro Plus Retail. That's the product ID we're installing. What languages are we going to download? Right now, we're just doing US English. So that's the language we're downloading. That's all we need to provide in our config file. If I want to do multiple languages, I just put them here. I just slash language ID equals, you know, what is it, FR-FR, Spanish, whatever the language packs they are, then that's the ones I want. Important safety tip here, whatever is the highest language pack in the list is the version that's going to be deployed. So if you're not fluent in French, which in lab 2 we're going to learn that we're going to install French, if you flip-flop those, it'll do English first. If you don't, it'll do French first. Now, it's always going to fall back to the language that's on the operating system, but during the install, it's going to be the other language, and then the menus are going to be in that other language. So, if not, you're going to get a crash course in French because one of the exercises we're actually going to do this. So the downloading allows us to download the bits locally. So I can put those bits locally, and then I can distribute those bits to a distribution server, distribution points. I can package that information down on my local machine and put that information there. So let's escape out of here, go to my local machine. So this is, this is the ODT. So I've already downloaded it. So I clicked the big red button, said download. It downloaded this setup file, and it downloaded this configuration XML. That's all it did. That's all it created. And then what I've done is I've gone ahead and I've created these other XML files that we're going to be talking about and discussing over the next part of today and tomorrow. The basic download file is kind of what you've seen. So that's what we talked about earlier. So we have the 32-bit and the 64-bit. We're finding that our ISVs and all our add-ins and plugins are still 32-bit. So we're finding that the Office 32-bit is still the predominant version of Office being deployed because of the add-ins. The 64-bit version is there. So for those who are doing like really large project documents or very large Excel documents, the 64-bit really comes into play. Issue we have there is a lot of the add-ins don't work on the 64-bit because they're not 64-bit. And you cannot commingle 32 and 64. It's either one or the other. So even in App B, you can't commingle. Now you can through a virtual machine. But. So let's look at this download file. So what I've done in this download file is I'm still pulling down Office 32-bit. Right? I'm doing the English version. Now I've added Visio. So two components that you can add to Office. Now you have to license these components. It's Visio and Project. So there are individual downloads that you can add to this. You can either install them separately or you can install them with the full Office component. But if you're licensed Visio online or Project online, then this is where you're going to do those downloads. And you can co-mingle those or not. You choose. And we'll get into detail about some of those. I'll just leave it at that for now. So one of the things I really want to emphasize, and I don't know if I've done it justice, is we really want to emphasize that this config file is everything. Without the config file, Office doesn't know what to do next, because that's what we're telling it to do. I can get specific on which version I want to install. So every month I said we RTM a version of Office. So we have every legacy version of Office still available. They're still sitting there. We only support the version of Office that is 12 months old or newer. So anything greater than 12 months is unsupported. Now, people look shocked and go, oh, I can't believe that, right? You're only supporting Office for a year? That's still true in all of our offices. So once Service Pack 1 comes out, a year later, Office without Service Pack 1 becomes unsupported. Office with Service Pack 1 is supported, but Office without Service Pack 1 goes into unsupported. That model hasn't changed. That model is still the same here in Office 365 Pro Plus. You can install and you can specify the version. If you have a specific version that you're doing, maybe you work for a defense organization or you happen to work for like NASA or some of those where once something gets baked and it's set and something happens, they're doing a flight or they're, you know, doing a particular mission, nothing's allowed to change. You can set these to where only this is the approved version and this is what we're allowed to do, right, during that window. Once that window expires, then we can get updated, we can do all those things. We can control all of these features. You don't have to let your machines update every month. We highly encourage it, but you don't have to. So defining the source path. So if you do not define source path equals, it won't go out and use that as its installation. So it won't go pull that down and use that as its installation. So source path is where do I go get my Office bits? So this becomes important when I'm doing my install. When I'm doing my download, I don't want this, right? Because I want to download from the CDN, so the Content Delivery Network. I want the latest build. But once I've downloaded and I've checked it and I'm good with it, then putting this source path in becomes important. Because the source path is telling my client where to go do the install. If you do not define a source path, it'll do one of two things. It'll look local to wherever that setup.exe file is, and if it has the Office build paths in that path, it'll go ahead and use that source. If it's not there, it goes to the internet. If you put a source path and it can't find that source path, it'll use the internet. So make sure your source path is correct. Because if it fails on source path, it goes to the internet. Now, you can block that at your firewall and say don't allow these kind of communications, like, except from these IP addresses. I'm just letting you know that the action is, it's not there? Okay, well, I'm going here, because I know it's there. But I can set my source path on where I'm doing my deployment from. This can be any SMB or HTTP path. As long as you have access to it, it can be anywhere. So for super large organizations that have doing DFS or are using like System Center and they already have distribution servers distributed all about, you can use those same distribution servers, different points, right, and use that to replicate the content out to all those places. So when through your installation tools, you would actually run the setup.exe server path and it would go to the local one and use that for install. Question? Right, so it can be any SMB. So that can be C / it can be a UNC, you know, it can be, you name it, right?
Is there an example of how you would define the current directory that you're in?
When you want to get into creativity of where this file might be and how, then what you're going to want to do is build a process that's above this, that's going to figure out where those source paths are, and then write this in. Because again, if I fail on this, I'm just going to the internet. Right? So you define the source path. So if I use a DFS source path name, right? So it's a distributed file system, and it's always the same UNC presented to the operating system, but because it's DFS, it's going to use the local or the branch cache or whatever those things, then that'll work just fine. But if I'm using /ODT/office/whatever, then if it's not there, it's going to the internet.
I'm sure someone's done it that way. I want to use the local source that the SCCM agent downloads.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Right. So tomorrow's when we get into how to package with SCCM, right, you can think through that logic path. Our examples won't do that, but yeah, you can get pretty creative. It's just a config file that you can call, and you don't have to have the same config file for everybody. You may have a config file for this group, and this group gets a different config file, and this group gets another config file, right? And this group gets these, this group gets those, right? This goes from here, this goes from there. And it's by machine. So how you distribute it is up to you, but it's by machine. There's a config file on each machine.
One more follow-up. Does it remember the source path that you put in there, and does it ever recall that location again?
So the question was, does it remember the source path? Yes, it's written in the registry. Does it call back to it? Not really, because what's happening is after we've done the initial install, then it's the update. We haven't even got the update yet, right? And then the update's going to dictate what I'm doing next. No,
okay.
It's a one time. During install, once setup is done, it's done. Now, if I call setup again to add an app or remove an app, then it needs that source path again. Where are the bits? So I can do multi-language support. So we briefly talked about that, right? U.S. English, Spanish, Japanese. So I can define these. Each one of those, I may choose to build an image that says, you know, in this country, we're going to build an XML that consists of this. And in this country, we're going to build an XML that consists of that. And then based on where your IP address is or what hardware collection group you're in or however you define what your metrics are for that area, that's the XML file you'll call to then execute upon. So again, you can have hundreds or thousands of these. I wouldn't recommend you get into the thousands because that's going to be a maintenance nightmare, but you can do it. But this defines what happens on that individual machine. Display level. Do I want it to do a quiet install or do I want it to do the splash screens? If I set display level to none, just does a quiet install in the background. Right? If I set it to display level equals full, I get all the splash screens. If I don't define it, I get the splash screens. So the default is get the splash screens. Anything other than none, you're getting the splash screens. Now, when we're doing our exercises, you'll see that the splash screens aren't that intrusive. But in enterprise, customers are not used to or used to not seeing splash screens, those kind of things. You can hide all that. Just display level equals none.
So why did Microsoft go not against their own MSI model? But MSI, you can use as quiet or full. There's also give me a QB or a QBN.
Right.
Why
so.
Isn't there...
So, the MSI model still exists. And that's called Office 2013 Professional. And Office 365 Pro Plus, click to run. Nope. It's A or B. Now, you can do A and B, not on the same machine, but in the same environment.
So this may be jumping the gun, but if we already have some installations of Office 2013 Pro Plus, can they be converted to automatically get the updates like the rest?
Great question. So the question was, if I've already deployed Office 2013 Professional, and now I want to start leveraging Office 365 Pro Plus, is there just a little bit I can flip and it'll work? No. It's uninstall, reinstall. But the uninstall, reinstall process is actually very quick. You can get the uninstall quickly, and then, you know, as soon as it's done, you can do the reinstall. And you can do that through a system center or any of those. You can script that out pretty easily. There's a tool. So does anyone have that problem? We have a tool that we don't distribute, but we will give you, that we created. It's in a website we call Toolbox. And it's called Office Scrub. And it does exactly that. It scrubs the old version of Office so you can put on the new version of Office. So if you need something programmatic of that nature, send me an email and we'll make sure you get a copy of that through your TAM or something of that nature.
Those also exist for previous versions, Pro 7,
3.10. Mm-hmm. Scrub will work with any of those. So, yeah, so if you don't already have an uninstall methodology, then yes. Now, you may choose to do a unique thing that we call side-by-side install. So you can install side-by-side the old version of Office and the new version of Office. So if I'm Office 2003, 2007, 2010, stop. I can load Office 365 Pro Plus side by side, and they'll run side by side. The reason we do that, the side by side install, is because not everyone has enough time to get all their add-ins and all their macros and all that stuff tested before you're ready to run with the new model. So we allow you to put them side by side on the same machine. Now that being said, you're kind of running in the dark with scissors, because that side by side install also is going to take ownership of what? .docx, .pptx. So if I do a update on the old version, guess who takes control of .docx, right? It's the old versions. So you get into this going back and forth of who owns what file extension and what version are you getting and things of that nature. But it does provide you the ability for some to get over that initial hurdle, knowing that you have that full sprint to get to all of your add-ins and those things checked. I have a session going later tomorrow about the telemetry dashboard, where we're going to give you a lot of that intel on what's happening where, and then what you're going to look for and address and get those things accomplished. That's tomorrow's session. So I'm like using all my teasers and danglers trying to get you to come back. But we do cover that in that particular realm. Question. That's a problem, right? So it has to be like for like. So if you're 64, it has to be 64. If you're 32, it has to be 32. I cannot commingle 64 and 32. Right. Old versions, you could. I understand. So it's not designed to be long term. If you read the full details of your EULA with your enterprise agreement, then you do have the rights to do that for those purposes. So, but yeah, but again, I try to emphasize, you don't want to be doing this long. This is not a long term solution, right? It's going to break associations. It's going to be a bad user experience eventually. It's going to light up your help desk. Which I know we all love. So new was our number one asked feature. How do I exclude apps? Because prior to September, the good news was you couldn't. So everybody got access. Everybody got InfoPath. Everybody got everything, right? Because you're welcome. We believe you should have it. Well, in the enterprise, they don't seem to like the way we think. So we can actually define what we want to exclude. So you no longer have to install everything. You can choose to install some things. So I may choose to just do Word, Excel, and OneNote, right? Because we're not an Outlook shop. We don't use Outlook, right? Because we're that 1% who doesn't use Outlook. But you could choose to exclude any of these apps. Let's say you come back later. You do the full install, right? Because you've already done the install. You installed this prior to September. Now you want to take these things out. You can do that. You just rerun setup with these exclude app identifiers, and it'll take it off. If I've taken something off and I want to add it back, I just take that exclude identifier out, I rerun setup, and it'll just put it back. Every time setup runs, it just detects what's not there and puts it there.
You have to be on a certain version of the setup. Do you use the Office 365 from like 6 months, 8 months ago, and this will still work, or do we need to get up to a certain...
No, because it's always going to be the deltas. It has to be it just has to be within the Office 365 realm that we exist. So we only support the last 12 months, but all the other ones still work. And if you're still from the original Office 365 Pro Plus build, and you're going to do the update now, it'll just pick up everything in between. Now, you're probably going to have a pretty good size update compared to all the others, but it's going to just pick up. And it's only going to be the deltas that's changed. every update is always based on the deltas. So if we've updated Excel, you know, every month we've updated Excel, you're only going to get one Excel update. It's going to be the latest one because that's the greatest one. And all the others will be ignored. You don't need the old ones, right? Again, we don't have to patch and then patch and then patch. So we don't have to do that old daisy chaining thing. Anyone ever have to do those daisy chaining besides her? Right? It's, yeah, it wasn't fun. Another one that you're welcome. No, it truly does not install the application. It's not the old, we just hide it from your view, right? It truly doesn't install the application. And what makes you think we would actually just hide it from you? Not that we've ever done that before. So, examples of, and I'll go ahead and I'll show you some examples here of what different config XMLs would look like to do various languages, to do various deployments. So, you know, you can have a financial department-based XML which installs, you know, the 64-bit version of Office because they all need the 64-bit version of Excel, right? Because everyone knows they run their business on Excel, just like we do. And that's the reality of it, right? And then everyone else may just get the standard deployment, which is the 32-bit because all the add-ins work and all the plugins work, and they all get the standard English, right? We may choose to say everyone in Germany gets the German language pack, right? And we may get the default, not U.S. English. Right? And in that way, now understand, even though I said German is the default language pack, it still defaults to the language of the operating system. So if I put German on as the default language, but English is the default language of the operating system, then I'm going to get everything in English as I launch the apps. So all the menus are going to be written in English, right? Everything's going to be in English. The shortcuts will be in German, but all the menus and all the toolbar items are going to be in English. If my default language is in German, everything's going to be in German if I have the German language pack. If I don't have the German, then it's whatever language pack I've had. So an example, because, you know, again, it's in gray. It's real easy to read. You know, here's an example of we're doing English, we're doing Spanish, we're doing Japanese. English is the top one, so it's the default language. So that's the language that's going to be the initial language. The user can choose the other two, right? That's just a user setting. They can go in and choose which one. But English is going to be the default. I'm going to zip through this so we can get into the labs. Excluding apps, and I'll give you an example. We'll talk about that, right? And then just doing the Office mobile, so just letting it install from the internet. So you may choose to just let people go to the portal, click the button, it installs. Updates. So now that we've got the machine installed, so the Office apps isn't, we've chosen whatever methodology we're going to do, whatever source path we're going to do. Now when you're going to do updates. Updates, you have two choices. Yes, no, true, false. Updates true, then it has a choice. Do I give it a source path or do I not? If I don't give it a source path, it goes to the internet and it gets the updates from the internet. Yes.
Mm-hmm. User goes home, they have the ability to log in, install whatever they want, or just install the full Office pack so you get all this, the full entire suite of products. But they could also technically do that from an internal PC on your network. Would that override all your custom settings that you did with the ODT?
Well, the good news is you have to have administrator rights to install Office on a machine. So for most organizations, they don't allow that. Right, so that's going to help hinder that. For organizations that do allow it, right, you may, you know, and then that's where the telemetry dashboard is going to come in and say, this person did this, right, and you're going to have to pick it up. That's going to be an after the fact. You can't prevent that because they have administrator rights in the box, right? Once you have administrator rights in the box, you can do anything, right? We at Microsoft, we have administrator rights in our boxes. We're allowed to do anything. The bad news is we call the help desk, and they can't solve it in 20 minutes. Guess what they do? Wipe and load, baby, right? Too bad, so sad. You shouldn't have done it. You can. So you can put the XML out on any share and then reference and call the XML. So if they're at home, typically you just send them to do the self-install, right, where they go to the portal and they self-install. That's kind of what we recommend because it's a home machine. You don't really care if they're putting access on their home computer. But if you want to control it and you want to set it all up, you can put all that information on a portal, internal portal, right, that they go to and they click and it's going to call an internal, SMB share, and it's going to call an internal config file, and it's going to install it how you want it to install. You can also give it to them on a USB drive. You can give it on a DVD, and they can just run those, right? You just run a simple little setup file, and it installs what you want it to have. That's a challenge on a home computer, because remember, you don't control home computers, right? You get into a lot of challenges. On-premises, work machines, yeah, you can get real creative on what you do. At home, becomes more of a challenge. That's why we typically recommend just go to the portal. But if you want to give them a predefined package, you can. And that's real easy to do, actually. Question? So updates, define the path. It's going to go out, and it's going to get the updates. The way it does it goes out, and every day it checks, hey, do I got updates? Yes, no. If I find updates because there's a newer version, I do the update. If I don't find a newer version, I don't do an update. And it does that every day. So we, on Patch Tuesday, release a new version of Office every Patch Tuesday. Every Patch Tuesday, you get a new version of Office. So you're going to get updates on Patch Tuesday to do Office. So if you're in a controlled environment, highly controlled environment, you're probably going to have the source path be something that you control. And then you will put the update there when you're ready for it to be there. In an environment that's not highly controlled, right? And we recommend you don't necessarily have to control Office the way you used to, right? You can just allow it to come to us and get the updates. You choose, right? You can even target what version, what dates. You can get very specific on how you want to control specific updates. We have an entire session, another one of those little dangle carrots, right? Talking about how to do updates. And how you're going to do updates, whether you're doing it through the simple method, whether you're going to do it through System Center, through group policy, how do you want to control and do updates? It's all there. So any method that you have today that you're leveraging today to do updates, we can kind of match it. Understand it's going to be a little different, and you look, we all hate difference, right? Everything I'm talking about today has been different. Right, and we're all scared of different. I'm with you. I was one of those guys going, man, I do not like different. Right, I've been doing the OCT forever. I know how to do this. Now you've taken what I know how to do, and you said, okay, you can't do that anymore. And you've given me a whole new methodology. But the new methodology, once you get used to it, actually is real easy. But it's different. I'm not going to lie.
And you set that up with a separate file for a certain group of workstations so that you get it early in the morning, you test and install it, you want the other one.
Great question. So the question was, can I define times on when certain people get certain updates and when they do those updates? The answer to that is yes. You typically leverage a tool like System Center or one of those where you would distribute it about. Remember, this config file can be as broad as I'm going to do it for this whole group or the entire company, or as granular as this is what I'm doing for this person. And I can have originally done the setup with this config file in one fashion, and then a few months later come through, replace the config file, rerun the setup, right? It'll do the updates, and now I've got new settings. I can't just replace the config file and it'll pick it up. But I can run the config file, and then if I want to change my settings, right, rerun setup, which in all reality, all I'm doing is update. but I get in my new settings. And then that's how it's handled. And you can do that through group policy. And then with group policy, right, you can do that through security group, filtering. You can do that same thing with system center, right, based on whatever, however you're doing your filtering and however you're building those groups. You can assign it to an individual user. You can get very granular on how you want to do this. So it can be very broad, or it can be down to the individual and every imaginable thing in between. Again, you can make thousands of these, various versions. Just remember, you'd have to maintain them. Question?
Do you have to run setup in order to change your source path or update path, or can you just change the registry location?
Just run setup. Yeah, you can go into the registry and change it. Just run setup. Because it's just doing an update. If you already have the bits on the machine, rerunning setup is just going to do an update for all intent and purposes. Yeah. If you're creative enough to get every registry value correct, you could do that. That is an option. Right, but the update only just says just do update, right? But you can remove files through the config. So that if you want to remove an app, right, you can do the remove. You can also remove the entire office. So, you know, instead of doing add, you just remove office. Takes it away. Right? Remove a language pack. I installed everything with English, Spanish, and Japanese earlier. I want to take all the Spanish off. Right? I can just take Spanish off. It'll leave the English and it'll leave the Japanese. I want to remove all. Get rid of everything, right? I can do that. So remove is an option. Where do I go figure out every option that comes with Click to Run? TechNet. TechNet is your friend. Again, I get paid a ton of money to look at TechNet for you. Because honest to God, I don't have any super secret special insider. I just go to TechNet. It's all in TechNet. Even our blogs, we put everything on the blogs before we tell the field. So you know when the field knows. So they, you know, we don't have a, you know, like the old days. Remember we had the insider programs and all those kind of things. And you know, you could always guy can give you an elbow and say, I'm not allowed to tell you this, and then they would tell you, right? We've kind of eliminated that. The method is we communicate with our customers the same time we're communicating with our field, because things are happening monthly, and that's when you need to know. So, you know. Roadmap.office.com lets you know what's coming. You can drill down to every little individual features, and then the updates are happening on Office monthly. So there's a monthly build. Anyone know how to get to see the updates on the builds? I'll show that here in a little while. Shared computer activation. This was a problem. So anyone here use VDI? Anyone else? Shared computer used to be a problem, because to do shared computer, you had to have dedicated VMs. Well, why do dedicated VMs, right? We all do VM pools. So in Office 365, we couldn't do that, because remember, we have five activations. If I'm coming from a VDI pool, I could be on any node of that pool, right? So 5 days, I'm kind of doomed. After 5 days, you know, I've used up my five activations. What do? So we implemented a capability we called shared activation. So the way shared activation works is it allows the user to activate and consume Office, but it doesn't consume one of their instances. So every time they go to the pool, they get a new machine, that activation goes okay, right, and they can use Office. Because that activation is established within the pool, everything works fine, and we actually have an example. Well, here, let me do it visually. So if I'm user one, I log in, I have my temporary activation enabled, It works in the cloud. I can use Office on my VDI pool. So then I'm all, user two. So user two comes in, same process. They hit the pool, any one of the machines. They do the activation. They work just fine, right? User three comes along. User three is not provisioned to use Office 365. So Office is sitting on the pool, right? But they're not activated to use Office 365. So they try to activate, and it doesn't work for them. So what happens to their version of Office? Goes to reduced functionality mode. So in our one of our later labs, we'll actually get to see reduced functionality mode. You're going to get the little red banner that says, this is an unlicensed copy of Office. All right, here's the link to go buy a copy. We're always going to give you that option. And then, but you'll have a notifier letting them know. So that puts them in Word Viewer, PowerPoint Viewer, Excel Viewer. They can still view the files, they just can't edit. So this is three users on the same VDI pool. Two of them are licensed, one is not. That's their experiences. We built that just for these two guys. I lie, but they benefit. Yes?
Is that out of the box or is that additional configuration?
It's a line in the config XML. And we actually do that in the next lab. There, you'll add a specific line that says this is a shared activation. So you would only put that on your VDI pool. I wouldn't recommend you put that on all of those machines. You could, but it's going to stop working real fast. So shared activation is very popular for those who are doing VDI pools. And here's the line. Right, property name equals shared computer licensing. Once it's established, you're in great shape. You can actually also go modify it in the registry to turn shared activation on. You can do that by doing this. So obviously, once you set this value, guess all it does? It runs the registry key. But that was introduced, I believe, it said September. Whoever watches this later and sees the slide, they'll call me a liar because they'll see that it was different. Doesn't know.
So then they can go and install the account list?
The usage, yeah, you basically could just keep running. So if you put that shared key on every computer in your environment, would it work? Yeah. Are you licensed to do that? You choose. Understand, with the cloud, we know what you're doing. We did know what you're doing on premises. We do know what you're doing in the cloud.
Doesn't it deactivate and log off?
It will not deactivate and log you off automatically with the shared instance, only if you're not provisioned. It does not. We no longer track that instance. So when you set that registry key, we don't send that machine name up to be added to your one of your instances, which is what was the problem with pooled VDI in the first place for us. So we no longer send that data up, so we no longer track that data. So I already brought this up earlier. We can add Office to your Windows images. So if you already have a process where you're using, so if you're using the MDT, the Microsoft Deployment Tool, or if you're using some other, you know, OS imaging application that you're leveraging to install Office from, you can add this to that, right? I can just add the files to my machine, call the setup file locally, have it install locally, and be part of my Windows install image. So when I pixie boot and I go to my RIS server, I can get my WIM file and it already has it, if I want. All right, that's how we do it in Microsoft. We do a lot of F12s. So any questions around that? Let me show you what the Office looks like in its raw format. So I've run the ODT. I've downloaded the Office.
Can you
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I keep forgetting. It flip-flops on me. So let me back up. So I downloaded the ODT. I put it in a directory called ODT, but you can put it anywhere you want. I did the download, so I actually ran this config file. So I said download just 32-bit version, and then write the log, download log to this location. So it downloaded, created this folder, and downloaded my data. And this is what Office looks like. So I've got these couple little files, and then I have my version number. So this version number is the part that keeps my version information. And if updates pointed to this path, which you would never do, updates point to your own local path. But if updates pointed to this path, once it saw a new build version here, it would do its updates. Until then, it would never update. What's inside that update file? You know, principally, it's your 867 megabyte Office file, and it's your 220 megabyte language pack. So ballpark, we're always about a gig in size to do these. And you'll get this per version. So if you're maintaining all your versions, your legacy versions, your past versions, you'll get one of those folders, and then one of these files per folders on every download. So every month, if you're going to maintain these downloads and then control how you're doing updates and distributions and things of that nature, then you'll be running this download switch monthly. Always do it after Patch Tuesday, or at least on Patch Tuesday, so you get the new RTM build. Question?
Every month, you're downloading the 1 gigabyte of the full install.
Yes, you are.
And you're streaming Delta back to the client.
Correct. So the question, you know, so the comment was, is every month you do the download, you get the full 1 gig download? Yes. If you're doing multiple downloads because of multiple language packs, and multiple, you may be doing this multiple times. Yes.
If you're
correct.
If,
if you just allow it to auto-update and you put source path, you don't define source path, it just comes to us, and then you're not actually downloading anything. You're just getting the deltas of what you have installed and what the new version is. So it's not like we pull down the whole 1 gig file and then do deltas between. We only pull down the deltas.
But if you're doing fresh click-to-run installs every month, you would probably make it happen keeping that updated.
So if you work for a national defense organization that does those kind of things and works in Faraday cages, yes, that would be their method of choice. Is then you would set update to false. It never updates, never checks, and then it just.
I just mean like fresh installs on, you know, you get new laptops in and you're trying to deploy on a little bit, you want to do it from click to run. Would you just want to keep that click to run source update?
You can. But the problem with that is, especially if you're packaging in your Windows image, then you're always cracking open your Windows image, putting in the new file, and then repackaging that. You know, you may just let it deploy the version it has, and then just let it update. Because immediately when it launches, it's going to go, do I have updates? Yeah. All right. Well, it's going to go get the updates, right? And if you set the display to none, it's just going to happen in the background. You're not going to get any notifications. It's just going to update. But this is what the ODT downloads, and this is what Office looks like. Isn't it awesome? So one of the things I was asking earlier is how do I do updates on an individual instance? So here's my Word, my blank copy of Word. Here's my not options account, Office updates. All right, I can update now. You know, I can disable updates. But if I select View Updates, this actually takes us to, well, hypothetically, it takes you to TechNet that lists every update there is that we've had, and it has its build number, and it lists off all of the information within the build number that maintains all that content. And I sure hope our network isn't having problems because it's lab time. So we have 30 minutes for the lab. So go ahead and do your labs. For those who just joined us, Picked it up. For those who just joined us, I asked you to kind of log in and then do the build, right? So it takes about 30 minutes. If you didn't push the little arrow that said do the office labs, push it now. It's going to probably take about 30 minutes, so you get to stay late. You got homework. But the rest of us just do lab 2, which is going to be how to do an Office 365 deployment.